World?
Yes?
This is the New America calling.
This is not about you. It's not even about me.
It's about everybody crowded together. So let's not suffocate each other. We're at a crossroads, and we need each other.
America, I think the world shares your fears.
Let's live deliberately. Let's not just allow things to happen. From now on, let's name the things to which we aspire. Dreams are the scaffold upon which we build a stable future together. So what do you want to see for our future then, world?
I don't know. We can't make up our minds. I don't want to wake up one morning and feel your yoke around my neck.
This is a great nation, and it was built by a simpler people. We believed in justice and sacrifice. We can promise to keep your net free.
Then it's time you talk to your minions on Wall Street. Conquest to protect American business is a big part of your history.
We have our inner compass to think about. There's a fear that we can't compete, and a fear that we must do without.
Like all empires of power and might, you should wax and wane before you set things right.
It's going to take time to fix those things.
Time to live deliberately again. Own your future, your history. Write your future.
I have a greater fear than for America's power to wane. It's that it grows beyond our control, beyond the people who are America to control it.
And it's up to each of you to be America. Whatever was done can be undone. Make this your beautiful life. Make this our wonderful world.
I can see how what we do sometimes doesn't make it all that wonderful. Too many things are just allowed to happen around us. People aren't mean, they're just busy. Sometimes too busy for housekeeping of the American dream.
The world dream, you mean?
Right. So what's next?
We live as if we are America. We must inspire others to become all those things that are America, too. And every day we make the world a little bit more wonderful.
Will you join us in Rise as we sing What a Wonderful World? It's in the order of service, the words.
Thank you.
words. And the question that we're going to go around the mic in a moment and ask is, if we are America, what action can you take personally that can inspire other people to build the kind of America that you dream about?
Chuck Berry, I'd like to reach out to other countries and other individuals, realize they are out there, and actually learn about other languages and cultures, and make friends with the people, show interest in the rest of the world, instead of thinking we're just here by ourselves.
Peter Church here. One of the ways that we are, as a group, reaching out that I want to mention because it fits in, is through our membership in Kiva, where we are making loans overseas, not in the U.S., mostly in the third world. They're loans, not gifts, and they're helping individual entrepreneurs to make better lives for themselves, and I think that that is very much in keeping with our new principles, and not saying we should rest on our laurels, far from it, but that is a specific, concrete thing we are doing every day, continuing. Watch the EU news for updates on how that's going.
I'm Darlene Wiener, and I recently moved to Pine Grove Mills on a street that kind of characterizes a lot of the changes that are happening in many American neighborhoods and cities. And about half of the people have been there 30 or 40, maybe even 50 years. The other half are new to the neighborhood. And the family across the street is Vietnamese, and with a lot of children. The parents came from Vietnam. The children, many of the children who are older, there's 30 and older, have been born here. And I can sense an undercurrent in the neighborhood of people who are different. Even the people who aren't from a different country, who are younger, you know, so there's a lot of dynamics there in the neighborhood that are changing. And Mark, what I feel called to do is address it. I'm not sure how. Part of it, I think, is through befriending the Vietnamese family, giving them honest advice, because they've already asked me certain things, but also maybe addressing with my other neighbors, my white neighbors, some of the undercurrents that I don't know how to get to them, but to be sensitive to it and have courage to address that when the situations come up, which I'm sure they will.
I truly think that peace begins in the heart of each individual, and I do my best to negotiate, to mediate, to offer compromises to two parties that I think have differences and try to get them settled. Differences don't go away. They have to be resolved, and they have to be resolved to the satisfaction of both parties. And I really, really try to do that, whether it's between two neighbors or two relatives. My relatives are the hardest to deal with.
It's just a little contribution, but I think during the Second World War, when we protested, we were called resistors. We were not called rebels. And I think we need to clear up the paper and all communication to stop calling people who will fight for their democratic freedom rebels.
Carol Palmer. I guess for me, it's fighting cynicism and the feeling there's no hope. And getting out the vote. So many people say it doesn't matter anymore, they're all the same, I don't count, I'm not important, my vote doesn't matter. I think maybe the most important thing is making people see it does matter.
Hi, Kane Humble. I came to this country when I was very young, 3 years old. And I wanted to address some of the thoughts that I hear here. You know, I hear how Americans are struggling, and me being American too, to accept others from other countries. And I thought I would share a little bit of the stories that I've heard from other people who come here to this country. My family came here in the 60s, and we came came from Norway, which was a little bit poor at the time. Now it's a rich country. And was struggling to make ends meet and pay taxes that were at a marginal rate of 50%, which is quite a bit, despite the fact that we were quite poor. And he came here to America, and my parents got a car, they got a TV, they got potato chips, and it was incredible the amount of wealth that was here in America. And what was perhaps even more incredible was how much we were welcomed into this country, despite the strong accents that my parents had and their struggles to learn English. They were accepted. Sometimes there was a bit of friction and sometimes a bit of differences, like when they let me run naked on the beach. They were told in a rather stern voice that they don't do that during America. So they got me bathing suit pretty quickly. Other friends of mine, I've had three friends of mine come to America from various countries, and they've all fled their other countries due to economic or religious persecution, and they come to this country, they work very hard, and they are more or less accepted here in America, sometimes more so than they were in their own country. And it's just amazing to me how they've come here, worked hard, and prospered. One of my friends who came here like 4 years ago now owns three businesses here, three stores here in America. And another friend of mine whom I dined at a very nice restaurant a couple years ago with asked for hot water for his drink. And I asked him, why that? Well, when we grew up, that's all that we could afford was hot water to drink. And he now has millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And he owes it to being here in America. And I just wanted to share those stories.
If the past law suggested that we'd be taxing people with incomes over $250,000, and I said, well, I've lived 83 years and I never made $250,000, and I know I had a pretty good lifestyle. And he said, yes, but they've been accustomed to this other lifestyle, and they won't give it up. And I think that we're in real serious danger if we allow this concept of negativity to destroy a good president and make our economy worse for a few years so they can win elections. And that might be a serious threat to our overall wealth and our democracy.
So I've lived about a third of my life outside the U.S. And when Laura called me earlier this year to say do a dry Forest Service, sometimes I feel like I don't quite know how American I am or if I'm American enough. And so I had to put a different spin on this to sort of show that when you live a lot of your life as an American abroad, what being an American feels like tends to change and get broader. So this has been a real joy. I've always loved coming here and doing these services. And so as we depart, let us carry with us the spirit of America. The 4th of July is not just a day for remembering history and giving thanks for the country we live in, but also a day to reaffirm our commitments to the future we want to make. There's not a left or a right in the story. There's no wrong or right. We've given many examples of people who held contradicting ideas and were Americans. People who wrote The Battle of the Republic and The Mother's Day for Peace. And there are many other examples of that in our history, that America is all of these things. And we need to find a way to live as people, not just as peoples. So go forth.